been overlooked because the roads were so narrow that cars could hardly pass through. The hands of the developers had not reached this far. Stepping in here, I felt as if time had turned back 20 or 30 years. I realized that at some point the constant roar of car engines had been swallowed up and was now gone. Carrying his guitar case, the man had made his way through the maze of streets until he came to a wood-frame apartment house. He opened the front door, went inside, and closed the door behind him. As far as I could see, the door had not been locked. I stood there for a time. The hands of my watch showed 6:20. I leaned against the chain-link fence of the vacant lot across the street, observing the building. It was a typical two-floor wood-frame apartment building. The look of the entrance and the layout of the rooms gave it away. I had lived in a building like this for a time when I was a student. There had been a shoe cabinet in the hallway, a shared toilet, a little kitchen, and only students or single working people lived there. This particular building, though, gave no sense of anyone living there. It was devoid of sound or movement. The plastic veneer door bore no nameplate. Where it had been removed, there was a long, narrow blank. All the windows of the place were shut tight, with curtains drawn, despite the lingering afternoon heat. This apartment house, like its neighbors, was probably scheduled for demolition soon, and no one lived there any longer. But if that was true, what was the man with the guitar case doing here? I expected to see a window slide open after he went inside, but still, nothing moved. I couldn't just go on hanging around forever in this deserted alley. I walked over to the front door and gave it a push. I had been right. It was not locked, and it opened in easily. I stood in the doorway a moment, trying to get a sense of the place, but I could hardly make out anything in the gloomy interior. With the windows all closed, the place was filled with hot, stale air. The moldy smell reminded me of the air at the bottom of the well. My armpits were streaming in the heat. A drop of sweat ran down behind my ear. After a moment's hesitation, I stepped inside and quietly closed the door behind me. By checking the name tags, if there were any, on the mailboxes or the shoe cabinet, I intended to find out if anyone was still living here. But before I could do so, I realized that someone was there. Someone was watching me. To the right of the entrance stood a tall shoe cabinet or some such thing, and the someone was standing just beyond it, as if hiding. I held my breath and peered into the gloomy warmth. The person standing there was the young man with the guitar case. It was obvious he had been hiding behind the shoe cabinet from the time he entered. My heart pounded at the base of my throat like a hammer smashing a nail. What was he doing here? Waiting for me? "Hello there," I forced myself to say. "I was hoping to ask you..." But the words were barely out of my mouth when something slammed into my shoulder. Hard. I couldn't tell what was happening. All I felt at that moment was a physical impact of blinding intensity. I went on standing there, confused. But the next second, I realized what was going on. With the agility of a monkey, the man had leaped out from behind the shoe cabinet and hit me with a baseball bat. While I stood there in shock, he raised the bat again and swung it at me. I tried to dodge, but I was too late. This time the bat hit my left arm. For a moment, the arm lost all feeling. There was no pain, nothing at all. It was as if the whole arm had just melted into space. Before I knew it, though, almost as a reflex action, I was kicking at him. I'd never had formal training in martial arts, but a friend of mine in high school with some proficiency in karate had taught me a few elementary moves. Day after day, he had me practicing kicks, nothing fancy, just training to kick as hard and high and straight as possible. This was the single most useful thing to know in an emergency, he had said. And he was right. Absorbed with swinging his bat, the man had never anticipated the possibility that he might be kicked. Just as frantic as he was, I had no idea where my kick was aimed, nor was it very strong, but the shock of it seemed to take the wind out of him. He stopped swinging his bat, and as if a break in time had occurred at that point, he stared at me with vacant eyes. Given this opportunity, I aimed a stronger, more accurate kick at his groin, and when he curled up with the pain, I wrenched the bat from his hands. Then I kicked him hard in the ribs. He tried to grab my leg, so I kicked him again, and then again in the same place. Then I smashed his thigh with the bat. Emitting a dull scream, he fell to the floor. At first I kicked and beat.